Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, your word is so powerful and effective. Lord, it is so intentional for us. Lord, it is right when we need it, and it is right what we need. Continue to use your word to change us today, to draw us near to Jesus, and to help us to know you. Lord, help us today by your Spirit, awaken us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you. It is Christmas Eve, and I hope you will enjoy, and you do enjoy this season. Many of you are planning on giving a gift to someone this year, someone who might be special to you, someone who you might want to bless. And I would encourage you to do that. We are looking forward to 2018, in which we live generously. And I want to encourage you to begin that even now during this season. And as you give a gift to someone this year, I hope that you keep this in mind, that a gift is an expression. It is an expression of yourself and the love that you have. When you give a gift, you are giving something that you believe that someone would benefit from. And as Allison and I had a conversation even last night about giving gifts that are redemptive and something that would benefit someone. And we received a gift from my sister that was very special to us that she only gave because she knew me. And it was special to me because she knew me and she thought about this gift. And it was given in love. And it was given to reveal not only her character, but it was given because she knew me. Living generously is a response to a generous God that we live under. And I want to encourage us to think about this morning. The greatest gift that was given was Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he was given as an expression of God's character and nature. He was given as an expression of love to us because we benefit from God's great gift. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to open up to the Gospel of John. Many of you know the Gospel of John is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love to teach and walk through it this morning. It is what I believe is a perfect message for Christmas. And I would preach it every year if I could, and I didn't think we may not benefit from some others. The reason that I love this passage, and as Jason read some of it earlier this morning, what we understand from the prologue in the Gospel of John is that God is, and I'll give you the outline of today, God is, God always was, and God is mighty, and all things came from his glorious nature. And yet, God, in his magnificence, did not choose to hide himself, but chose to reveal himself to us. God chose to reveal himself to us through his Son. And that ought to make us get out of our seat and rejoice exceedingly with great joy, as the shepherds did in Luke chapter 2. That ought to get us really excited, because the God of all heaven chose to reveal himself, Christian, to you. And we are in a place of great, great joy. Let's look at John 1:1 and walk through what has been revealed to us. We live generously because the Lord our God has been generous to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Many of you have studied this passage and could even teach it yourselves and preach it yourself. But the word logos there, the word for word that is translated in probably every English translation that you know. Logos, it is the Greek word for word. It is the Greek word for truth. It is the Greek word for an expression. It is the word with the idea of revelation behind it. And what I love about the scripture is we have the book of Revelation right there at the end that John penned. But what we oftentimes forget is it's not just the book at the end that's the revelation. It's the whole book that's the revelation of God to us of Himself. And the beauty of the Word of God, the Bible, is that God has revealed Himself to people who don't deserve it. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the expression of who God is. And I don't know how to communicate this any better than this. God is. God is everything that is good and right and perfect and true. God is the one who flung the stars out. God is the one who fashioned the crawfish. God is the one who carved out the deepest depths of the Marianas Trench. God is the one who sculpted Mount Everest to its peak. God is the one who the broad expanse of the universe spoke and it was to places we cannot even imagine with our minds. God is God. In the beginning was the Word. And it is this God that has been expressed to us or shown to us or revealed to us so that we are not hidden in the darkness. We are not lost in the caves, never to see the light of day, but we have been exposed to the glory and the nature of God. Jesus is the revelation of God unto us. Jesus is the revelation of God to us. And this may not, I cannot communicate this properly. I can't get across the idea that God is God and something we cannot understand, and yet He has chosen to reveal Himself to us. One of the songs in your musical this year says this: the glory of Christmas is the glory of Christ. And if you were there singing, I see your head nodding, Kitty. You remember, the glory of Christmas is the glory of Christ. And even the most secularist view of Christmas, the consumer version of Christmas in our culture today, is celebrating the goodness of God. You think, well, what do you mean? They're godless. And absolutely, there's a godless version of Christmas that is out there. And we all know it and have seen it. But even in that, they're celebrating giving. And they're celebrating family. And they're celebrating togetherness. And while it is godless in their understanding, none of those good things comes apart from God. They are all expressions of who He is. And whether they deny Him or not, they are still celebrating what is good. And it is good because it is of God. They are all expressions of godliness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The expression of who God is. The revelation to us that He is not hiding Himself, but He is revealing Himself to us. He was in the beginning with God, verse 2. Watch this. This is just so good. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Byron's going to be celebrating this morning. Life. He's going to be celebrating through baptism an awakening to the knowledge of who God is, and in a humble reverence saying, He just told me as before He walked out. It's so hard to believe. I deserved to die for my sin, and yet Jesus came and died for me on the cross. How can that be? I don't know. How can that be? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. There was a day in which God said, "Let there be light." And it came. Light came. Out of the depths of darkness, light came. It was God saying, "Yes, I am here." Come back tonight. We'll discuss that more. But for this morning, let's go to verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. In the same way, God said, "Let there be light," and it was. And God said, "Hello, I am who I am. See me." And he gave us light. You see, there are many ways in which we see God. And there are many ways in which we miss God. Psalm 8 says it like this. Psalm 8 says, "O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." And verse 3 of Psalm 8 says this, "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" You see, God has set the heavens, the stars, and you've seen it. You've seen the beauty of it. Just a month ago, I was running and saw that another shooting star. No star, a meteorite coming down through the atmosphere. I saw it. Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome. And I sit back and go, "God, you are awesome." And as God has shown himself to us, the Lord God has revealed himself to us in the amazing. He did not reveal himself fully in the stars and in the universe. And you say, why is that? Can't somebody in the jungle of Africa or in the Amazon rainforest, can't they look up and see that there's a God? And my answer is, yes, without a doubt. In fact, Romans 1 speaks to that very clearly. But what they cannot see from that jungle or from that forest is the love of God. What they cannot see is the Word made flesh. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into this world. And this is Christmas. Christian, this is Christmas. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world to show us the light of who God is. Because while we can see that stars mean God is massive, and while we can see that the sun says God brings life to things, and while we can see the giraffe and his long neck and go, and God is creative, and while we can see the dolphin jumping up the water and see that, yes, God is playful, at times, what we cannot see is that God is love. John said it like this later in his book, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Help me out, church. That whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. This is Christmas. Christian, this is Christmas. That the God that was in the beginning loved the world that he gave his son. This is the message of Christmas. It's not a new scooter. It's not a new TV or a new video game. It is that God loved us. And the Bible is very clear that God's love for us is not because we are worthy of his love. And it's like Byron said earlier, I had rebelled against God for 20 years of my life. I had done whatever I wanted rather than what he told me to do. I stood, looked up, and said, "It doesn't matter what you want, I'm doing it my way." It's not because we're lovable. 1 John says it like this, 1 John 4:9. "In this the love of God was made known." There it is again. "Was made known. The true light which give life to everyone was coming into the world. In this the love of God was made known, was manifest among us." That God did what, church?
Sin.
That God did what, church?
Sent
his only son into the world. How does God show us who he is? He sent Jesus to live who he is. Do we get this? Do we really get this? We can know a lot about God, but until his son came, we had no idea. And then Jesus came and spoke it. And Jesus came and lived it. Then Jesus came and sacrificed it. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his son into the world that we might, yes, Byron, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Let me read that again. In this is love. In other words, this is real love, not that we love God, but who wouldn't reciprocate the God of all the universe? Who wouldn't do that? In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the payment, the propitiation for our sin. This is love. Church, where is the amen? This is love. This The God of the universe has revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You see the expression of God? It's in his Son, Jesus Christ. "This is who I am," God is saying. "Look at me. I'm right here. I'm walking among you. I'm talking among you. I'm doing among you. This is who I am." And then God says, "Now, you go be that to one another." So Christian, there you are. There's your application. It's Christmas. Go express everything that you can of Jesus to everyone that you know. You rode to church with someone, probably. Express Jesus Christ to them. You've talked to someone on the phone, many of you already today, or you will today. Express Jesus Christ to those. Oh, this is beautiful, church. This is Christmas. Look at verse 10. "He was in the world." Yes, he was. "And the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own." And what happened? His own people did not receive him. And this is the tragedy. This is it. Humanity has gotten so wrapped up in what I can do for me that we have neglected to ask the question, "God, Lord, what can I do for you?" You see it? The world didn't know him. The world didn't even recognize him. The world had fashioned such a different version of God, of their creator, that when the Lord comes and Jesus Christ stands before them, he lives, he breathes, he speaks, he does, they don't even recognize him. Because that's what humanity does. Humanity fashions and forms a different version of God that they can control and that they can make how just how they want him to be. But Jesus arrives on the scene and says, "That's not the way it is. I am who I am. I am not who you made me to be. When Jesus boldly stands before the Jews there and he says, before Abraham was, I am. He was making it very clear. God has revealed himself to us. He came into his own, but they did not receive him. Look in Luke chapter 23. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him with splendid clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. Pilate would take him then, have him flogged severely, beaten, and hang him on a cross. He came into his own, but his own did not receive him. Friends, that happens every day. The Bible is very clear on who Jesus is. The Bible is very clear on the nature and the character of God, revealed himself, revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And people every day say, that's not my God. God is not like that. He came into his own. The Jews certainly, even those who have been given the word of God and who have been entrusted with the very words of God for 2,000 years, said, that's not my God. What is it? What is it about this Jesus that people don't want? What is it? What is it about this Jesus that you don't want? But one of the great words of Scripture. But to all who did receive him. But to all who did receive him. Who believed in his name, he gave the right, what church? To become the children of God. The children of God? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God? Wasn't it just 11 verses ago when we find that this God of the universe, the God who makes and creates and who is and who always has been, the one who defies the minds of every atheist Big Bang person out there, who defies the minds of some of the brightest minds in the world, this God gave us the right to become children? But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Because here it is, Byron, and you've experienced this, and you testify to this. Those who were born, not of blood, not from your mother, thank God for your mother, but thank God for your spiritual father. Because what this text says, Byron, is this. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, not because I want to, nor of the will of man, but who were born of God. When God said, let there be light, he created the universe. But he wasn't finished. Because God, day by day by day, the Lord our God and the Lord of heaven, breathes life and shows light into the souls of man and says, you are born now of God. And you believe in my Son and have received my Son. Paul said it this way. The God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't believe He said, but God, the one who said, let there be light, has shown the light into our hearts, the light of Jesus Christ. Born of God. And you know that phrase. That's from Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Born of God. Born from above. Born again. Born of the water. Born of the womb. But now born of the Spirit. Born from above. Hilton Guidry. If you don't know him, you need to. He walked up to me before church this morning. He said, Brother Keith, I was reading this, and I thought you might want to hear it. Listen to the words. The twofold mystery of Christmas is that God became one of us so that we might become one with Him. I'll read that again for you. The twofold mystery of Christmas is that God became one of us so that we might become one with Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That we might be one with Him. So many people get confused on this idea of what does it mean to be born again? And it is so simple. How do you know? How do you know if you're born again? It's a question I asked Byron. How do you know? And the answer is this. How can you not know? How can you not know when God has so awakened you that Jesus Christ is so real and it is so right? How can you not know when you believe and have received Him and are willing to surrender everything and follow the teaching and the person of Jesus Christ? When you are willing to give anything and everything up, to say, Jesus, whatever you say. When the Lord God is not somebody we pray to get our way, but it's someone we pray to give our way. That's how we know. How do you know you're born again? Because you can't not know. And here is the glory of Christmas. It is the glory of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 says it this way. This is just so good. I am so unable to communicate the beauty of the Scripture and the revelation of God. I just cannot do it, and I wish that I could. Listen to Paul's words in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9 says this, for in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Okay, now rewind just a moment. For in Jesus, that's who He's speaking of. For in Jesus, the whole fullness. He can't say it anymore. It's the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Merry Christmas! This is Jesus. This is God in every way. This is God. You want to know how to hate sin? Jesus. You want to know how to love the unlovable? Jesus. You want to know how to forgive the one who has offended you and wounded you deeply? Jesus. You want to know how to live generously? Jesus. You want to know how to suffer for righteousness' sake? Jesus. You want to know how to be kind and compassionate. Jesus, it is everything of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, the expression, the fullness of God dwells bodily in Jesus Christ. What can I say? Awaken, church, awaken to see Jesus. And the verse you probably know. And the Word became flesh. Verse 14, John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. John, imagine him pinning these words. And we have seen His glory. There He was, Jesus, the fullness of God. And I reclined on His breast, Jesus. And we have seen His glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The expression of grace, Jesus. The expression of truth, Jesus. Merry Christmas. Here is Jesus. Merry Christmas. Here is Jesus. So you take your new Xbox game, and you take your new fishing rod, and you take your new pair of jeans, and your new power tools, and take your new kitchen appliance, and you say to every one of them, you look them right in the eye, and you say, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has ever had. I'd rather have Jesus. And you tell your friend, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And you can sing it too if you want to, Belinda. I'd rather have Jesus. Merry Christmas. I'd rather have Jesus. And then you express who Jesus is to the best of your ability and say, I can never do Him justice, but this, my friend, this, my brother, this, my daughter, this, my father, this is Jesus. And you take God of all God, the Lord Almighty, who made heaven and earth, and you express to them, He revealed Himself. He expressed Himself to us in Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. What do we say, our God? What do we say, O Lord? You've given us Jesus. We are speechless. We have nothing to say. But all the glory be to God. All the glory be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for giving us the right to be sons and daughters of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.